ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः. हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु, सहनौ भुनक्तु, सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै. ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः. इन् दिस् कठोपनिषत् आफ् काटक शाखा आफ् दिस् कठोपनिषत् बिलाङ्ग् टु काटक शाखा आफ् कृष्णयजुर्वेद. In this third section, presents the important teaching with also imageries. The very first verse we saw, generally the people who have the knowledge of the truth and also people who are given to the Vedic way of life, thereby who are given to these practices, performance of rituals, especially people who invoke the grace of Bhagwan by performing ritual in the form of Panchagnayaha, five fires, and also who perform this Nachiketagni, the ritual known as Nachiketagni, three times. All these people, I mean sannyasis as well as karmis, all of them who follow Vedic way of life, of the same view that Jivatma and Paramatma are like the shade and the light. And it is Paramatma alone as Jivatma. Paramatma as Jivatma has entered into the cave of mind, obtaining with this physical body. And this cave of mind is Seti Parardham, an exalted abode, because that is where Paramatma is discovered as one's own Swarupam, as the source of the shade in the form of light. Just as the shade is non-different from the light, shade is not separate from the light, shade is of the light. And the light is not, light doesn't belong to the shade, but still shade belongs to the light. Because light can be without being a shade, but shade cannot be without light. So shade is non-different from the light. Similarly here, Jivatma is non-separate from Ishvara, Paramatma. Paramatma is not the Jiva. Of course, Jiva has nothing but Paramatma only. Therefore, this Paramatma is there as the source of the Jivatma, just as the light is the source of the shade. Paramatma is there in the very same body. But where Jivatma alone is the enjoyer of the results of actions, whereas Paramatma is only there just by mere presence, only creating the possibility for the Jivatma to enjoy the results of actions. This we saw yesterday's class. The words are differently used, different words are used. Why the ritam is said to, the punya phalam, the result of an action said to be ritam? Because definitely the result takes place. One meaning. Therefore it's said to be ritam. At the same time, the ritam again, a person can earn punyam only when his knowledge of dharma is implemented in his day-to-day life. It is not enough a person has knowledge of dharma. Knowledge of dharma must be implemented in day-to-day's life. Thereby, a person can earn punyam. That punyam also one can exhaust in this only when you see in this given body. The result is definite. One cannot escape from the result. That is also another reason why the result is said to be ritam. All that we saw in the yesterday's class, we move on to the next lesson. Om ritam pibantau sukrutasya loke guham pravishtau parame parardhe chaya tapo brahma vido vadanti panchagnayo echa tinachiketah. Next verse. Yes seturijana
maksharam brahma yat param. Yes seturijana nam aksharam brahma yat param. Abhayam titishatam param nachiketam she. Nachiketam shake mahi yes seturi jananam aksharam brahma yatparam. Yes seturi jananam aksharam brahma yatparam. Abhayam titirshatam param nachiketam shake mahi.
So in this second mantra, Upanishad says, this jiva, the individual being, has two options. Two options means what? The jiva can remain as Ishvara. The same point I recently started discussing in Mandukya class, very important lesson. The jiva can resolve into Ishvara or the jiva can resolve into Nirgunam Brahma. The two options. The jiva can resolve into Ishvara, remain as one with Ishvara. Or jiva can resolve into the very attributeless reality. So nirguna brahma layaha, saguna brahma layaha. Very important, okay? Nirguna brahma layaha, saguna brahma layaha. What is Nirgunam Brahmalaya? What is Agunam Brahmalaya? Let us understand. This Jivatma, this is any individual being only by performing rituals without requiring to think of attaining Jnanam in this life itself. Just one can perform rituals. Even to live a life of rich life, performing rituals also, one has to be very, very disciplined. An indisciplined person cannot enjoy any higher form of pleasure also. Leave alone jnanam, attainment of jnanam and moksha. Even the enjoyment of highest, much higher pleasure also is not possible unless a person is very disciplined. As a disciplined person alone, even if a person is not interested in attaining jnanam here itself, if a person is interested in performing rituals, especially the ritual prescribed in this, mentioned in this Upanishad is Nachiketagnihi, a specific ritual which is known as Nachiketagnihi, and this name, Nachiketa, the name was given by Lord Yama in this particular Upanishad, for this ritual, as Nachiketas asked for the knowledge of this ritual, not for himself, but for the sake of others who are interested in Paramahansa's rituals. So, but Lord Yama named the very ritual itself as Nachiketa Agnihi. The fire kindled upon the ritual also is called Nachiketa Agnihi. Anyway, so if a person performs Nachiketa Agnihi or any other ritual prescribed in the Karmakanda of the, specifically for, there are certain rituals, many rituals prescribed specifically for earning punyam. And with that punyam, what a person can achieve, definitely punyam will not remove ignorance. Punyam happens to be the result of good karma. Punyam has to be earned with a lot of strenuous, performing this strenuous ritual, because it involves strain, effort, because one has to really be very disciplined. Only then one's ritual will become effective. One can earn punyam. Only a person has earned it with that punyam. A maximum a person can do is a person can travel through Shuklagatihi. He can go to Swargaloka, highest loka. He can enjoy heavenly life. And as a result of going all the way to Brahmaloka, it is possible for this person to attain jnanam in the Brahmaloka. Even there, a person has to attain jnanam. At least in Brahmaloka, in subtle form, he has to resolve his ignorance there. Thereby, he can attain moksha. And such moksha, such mukti, attained in Brahmaloka, by attaining knowledge in Brahmaloka, after going to Brahmaloka, it involves a step. Therefore, it is called Kramamukti. So Jiva has this possibility. Jiva has this option of going to heaven and attaining knowledge there. And there he can resolve his ignorance. Thereby he can attain moksha. But he has to go to Brahmaloka to attain Kramamukti. And to go to Brahmaloka, he has to earn punyam. To earn that much punyam, adequate amount of punyam, he must live a disciplined life and also he must live his life performing Nachiketa Agnihi at least 3 times in his life. This is one thing. Otherwise, a person can attain jnanam here itself and he can attain sadyo muktihi or jivan muktihi. Otherwise, if a person even to earn adequate punyam to go to Brahmaloka to attain jnanam there to attain krama muktihi, the person has to perform the rituals. Now, it's not enough to perform the ritual. The punyam, in order to earn that much punyam, one must also combine the meditation along with the performance of ritual. So it must be jnana karma samuchyaha. I mean, the person must make the effort of having both, combining the performance of ritual along with the practice of specific meditation, upasanam also. Otherwise, the person, without including the practice of meditation, without combining meditation, if he merely performs rituals, still he can earn punyam. That punyam will enable him to go to only the higher loka, where he can enjoy heavenly pleasures, but definitely he can attain jnanam there. He has to come back into this world. This is the next option. So perform ritual along with the practice of meditation, thereby earn more punyam, adequate punyam to go to highest loka, there attain jnanaman kramamuktihi. Otherwise, without combining meditation, a person merely performs ritual, the performance of ritual will, of course, help him accumulate punyam. That punyam will not be enough to travel to highest loka. It will help him to go to some higher loka where he can enjoy the heavenly pleasures, but still he has to come back into this world. This is okay. If a person, no, he is not interested in earning punyam by performing ritual, he is not interested in going to this any other higher loka to enjoy heavenly pleasures and come back again to this world of mortals, or if he is not even interested in attaining Karma Mukti after going to Bhima Loka, but if he wants to attain Jnanam here itself, in this world itself, in this life itself, and he wants to attain Sadhya Mukti, Jivan Mukti, that's also possible. If a person attains Jivan Mukti here itself, he can resolve his individuality directly in the attributeless reality itself. He can Nirguna Brahma Layaha, he can attain Jnanam in this life itself. These are how the three options are there for a human being. If a person does not want anything, does not want to perform any ritual, anything, doesn't want to be religious at all, he doesn't want to be ethical also, I mean, he will be in samsara forever. That is a different question. That such a person who will not be following dharma is not discussed here. We're only talking about the person who's still aspiring for simple life, which means who's still interested in enjoyment of heavenly pleasures. He can merely perform ritual. He doesn't need to worry about even practicing meditation. The specific ritual, performing the ritual, Nachiketa Agni is enough to, even 3 times is enough to earn punyam to go to heaven. Shastram promises if a person performs the Nachiketa Agni 3 times in his lifetime, he will definitely earn that punyam. But performing that ritual involves great effort, but not easy. And he, along with the focused attention, practicing also meditation, will alone help him earn punyam to go to the highest loka and attain Karma Mukti. Otherwise, and the third option is a person can attain Jnanam here itself in this world. Attain Sadhya Mukti or Jivan Mukti. So, Saguna Brahma Upasanam or Ishvara Upasanam will not remove ignorance or the Swarupam of Ishvara obtaining as one's own self. But Ishvara Upasanam, Saguna Brahma Upasanam will only help a person earn punyam to go to the higher lokas and attain Karma Mukti. Whereas Nirguna Brahma Upasanam after Shravanam and Mananam will bless a person with Nirguna Brahma Jnanam, which will enable a person attain Moksha here itself. So Saguna Brahma Upasana Phalam, Nirguna Brahma Jnana Phalam also are discussed here. Let us see here this mantra. Yaha seturi jananam aksharam brahma yat param abhayam titirshatam param nachiketam shake mahi. So here shake mahi is the verb. Shake mahi means we can be given to, we can take to, we can take it. What can take it? What can we take? What can we be given to? Shake mahi is the first person plural verb. Therefore, we can say we can do. we can take it to, what is that? Nachiketam. See, Nachiketaha is a name of the fire which I have kindled to perform a specific ritual. So we can be given to this performance of ritual known as Nachiketagnihi. We can perform Nachiketam Shakyamihi. When Yaha Setuhu, what is this Nachiketas? Nachiketas is like the bridge. Setuhu means bridge. Nachiketas, Yaha Setuhu, which alone, Yaha means which alone, is a Setuhu, the bridge. Bridge to what? Bridge to attain heaven. Bridge to go to heaven. Not ritual doesn't become a bridge. It means performance of ritual will help a person earn punyam. Thereby, it serves as a means of attaining heaven. It's a bridge through which you can reach heaven. Then ijananam. See, the ijanaha. No? Ijanaha ishanachanta shabdaha. Ijanaha akarantaha pullingaha ijana shabdaha. Ijanaha means worshipper. A worshipper of devata. A performer of ritual is called ijanaha. Ijanaha literally means worshipper. And who is the worshipper here? Worshipper in the Veda Shastra Karma Kanda is a performer of ritual. Because performance of ritual itself is a form of worship. We are not worshipping the form. Performing a ritual is one of the forms of worship. So, Ijanaha means worshipper. Ijananam means of those people who perform rituals, of the worshippers, and who worship, who invoke the grace of Bhagavan in the form of fire by performing rituals. And specifically, this Nachiketagnihi. So this Nachiketagnihi, the ritual, serves as a setu. Saves as a bridge, like a bridge, it serves as a means of attaining heaven for the people who perform rituals, the worshippers, the ritualistic people. So, Ijananam Nachiketaha, what no? Setuhu. So, here Shakyamahi means what? Now we can take to the performance of ritual, Nachiketas, which serves as a setu, which is like a bridge, which will take us to heaven. If we are performance of rituals, then he says another one, Param Aksharam. Param Aksharam. So here, when you worship, when you perform rituals, we're only invoking the grace of Sagunam Brahma, Ishvara. In worship, very important lesson, in worshipping, performing rituals is a form of worship. In worshipping, we're only invoking the grace of Ishvara, Sagunam Brahma, which helps us, worship helps us to remain in association with Brahma, the Ishvara. But it will not remove the ignorance. So it will not liberate us from bondage. Whereas, Param Aksharam, the absolute reality, the imperishable reality, Param the absolute, Aksharam the imperishable reality, is what now? Abhayam. Abhayam, Brahma means, this, the reality, the source of fearlessness. So absolute the exalted, absolute imperishable reality, the source of fearlessness. The source of fearlessness is that yet titirshatam param. Titirshatam param. It is the shore. Param means shore, karai. In Tamil we say karai. Samudra paraha. Param means what? A shore of the ocean. Nadi param, bank of the river. So param means shore. And titirshata means those who are desirous of crossing. See, titirsha is a desirative word. Desirative. Taritum iccha titirsha. Taritum, tarati crosses. Tarati crosses. Taritum iccha, desire to cross. And titirsha means what? Taritum iccha titirsha, desire to cross. And titirshuhu means those who are desirous of crossing. Titirshatam, positive plural. Param. So, this absolute imperishable reality, the source of fearlessness is the shore. Shore means a moksha for those who are desirous of crossing the ocean of samsara. That's simple. Titirshatam param. This much is the many little many we have here. So yaha setuhu ijananam nachiketaha nachiketam shakhemahi varas aksharam brahma yat aksharam param aksharam brahma yad aksharam param brahma tat titi abhayam aksharam brahma abhayam brahma param brahma aksharam param abhayam brahma. Three adjectives. Aksharam paramam param brahma, absolute reality, exalted truth. Aksharam brahma, imperishable reality. Abhayam brahma, the source of fearlessness, brahma. That brahma is what? Titirshatam param asti bhavati. It is the shore, the moksha for those who are desirous of crossing the ocean of samsara. Titirshatam itself implies ocean of samsara. Okay. That's all we have here. So how to understand here? Yaha ijananam setuhu. So that which is setu, bridge for the worshippers. For them, nachiketam shakemahi. We understand this Nachiketa ritual to be the means. Shakemahi means what? We understand the Nachiketa ritual to be the means. We can take to the paramans of Nachiketa ritual. That it is the setu for worshippers to go to heaven. Abhayam param titirshatam. Abhayam param titirshatam. For those people who are desirous of crossing this ocean of samsara, for them, the means is what? Yat means is that which is exalted, imperishable reality, Brahma. That becomes the means. That which alone is said here. So, that's all simple. The meaning is over. That much is the meaning. Nothing much more here. See, ijanaha means yajamanaha. Shankaracharya gives same meaning. Yajama, yajate, upayapadam, that is. But yajate, what is yajamanaha? Yajamanaha means the person, the performer of ritual is called yajamanaha. That's why in India somehow the word yajamanaha is used to mean husband also. In Karnataka they say yajamanru, no, husband they say. Because man who has to sit for the ritual, man alone is eligible to perform a ritual. A woman is not supposed to perform fire ritual. Woman can sit with the man, but woman is not allowed to perform ritual. Especially is fire ritual. Other pujas he can do. We yajamanaha only. So, yajamanaha means worshipper. So, ijananam means yajamananam for those people. And who are they? Karminaha. Karmi means performer of ritual. So, worshippers who are performers of rituals, who are also to be karmis, for them, dukkha santaranarthadvat. For them, this ritual becomes a setu for it, like, see, bridge is always to cross the river, isn't it? To cross the river, you need a bridge. So here, dukkha it has the status of being the bridge in crossing, in overcoming sorrow. Therefore, it is said that the ritual also, by taking the person to heaven, by blessing him with the punyam, he can overcome at least sorrow relatively, though not absolutely. Therefore, dukkha santarana arthatvat, because this paramans of ritual also enables a person to overcome sorrow to some extent. And for which the Nachiketa Agni, the particular ritual becomes like a bridge, serves a means. Shake Mahi means we can choose. You understand this ritual as a means, or you can take this ritual also as a means. Shake Mahi means we can choose, we can know. So Shakaracharya is Shaknuvantaha. The people become capable of knowing or choosing this ritual as a means of overcoming sorrow. Just by going to heaven, it will not help a person overcome sorrow for a good, but temporarily it will help. It's also means a bridge. But if a person wants to get rid of the fear of samsara for good, kincha yaccha abhayam bhayashunyam samsara param titirshatam. Whereas if a person wants to get rid of the fear of death for good, and if he wants to cross the ocean of samsara, and for all those people who are desirous of crossing the ocean of samsara, who are desirous of getting rid of the fear for good, for them, the absolute resort is only the absolute reality. Which means one has to for we must make effort to know that Brahman. So here the for Jivan Mukti and also for which for attaining Jivan Mukti in this life itself, of attaining Kim Mukti in heaven, here Shastram, you see, presents the two options, two ways. Parapare Brahmani, Karma Brahma Vidashraye, Veditavye Iti Vakyartaha. What he says, this Param Brahma, this Aparam Brahma. Param Brahma is Nirgunam Brahma, Aparam Brahma is Sagunam Brahma. So Sagunam Brahma can be an object of meditation. Thereby, meditating upon Sagunam Brahma will help a person attain only heaven, will bless the person with temporary freedom from sorrow. Whereas Param Brahma Jnanam, so Sagunam Brahma Upasanam, Param Brahma Jnanam. Knowledge of Param Brahma will bless the person with Krama Mukti, Sadhya Mukti here itself. So Yetayoho Yeva, he Upanyasaha Kritaha. Uttam Bantaviti. So people of these two efforts, I mean, people who are making efforts to go to heaven, to attain Krama Mukti, or people who are interested in attaining moksha here itself, for them, anyway, those people alone, as jiva, ignorant jiva, obtaining in this body, goes through the experience of pairs of opposites, enjoys one's, experiences one's punya papam in this body itself. That much is the meaning we need to know here. The third mantra, we want third mantra here. It's a very interesting, very important mantra. You know, the famous Bhagavad Gita picture. You all remember? The Bhagavad Gita, there's a well-known picture is there. What is that? Krishna sits in a chariot as a charioteer. And behind Krishna, Arjuna is sitting. Krishna is a driver, charioteer. Arjuna is seated in the chariot. You can see everywhere there's a very famous Bhagavad Gita picture. Actually, that picture itself is described, in fact, that is only, that's the presentation of, description of the meaning of this mantra. Okay, the third mantra here. We'll see that. That's a symbolic picture. Chariot symbolizes something. Krishna stands for something. Arjuna stands for something. Reins stand for something. Horses stand for something. Symbolic. Okay, the meaning of the symbolism of the chariot, we can understand here. Okay, third mantra, let us read here. Then this third mantra, Upanishad actually presents the imagery of chariot. And this is a very important lesson, that it's important imagery. Of course, Shankara Bhagavatpada also introduces this mantra. Before even mantra, usually people write commentary after this only mantra. But Shankara Bhagavatpada as a commentator gives his commentary even before we begin this mantra. Anyway. This imagery, what does it convey? Definitely, if there is a chariot, rathaha, there must be the owner of the Rathaha is called the Rathi. Rathi means owner of the chariot. Rathaha, chariot. Rathi is owner of the chariot. Owner of the chariot who is eligible to travel by the chariot. Who is eligible to travel in the chariot. And who is Rathi here? The Rathi is Jivaha. Jivaha is Jivatma, the individual self. Jiva is the owner of the chariot. Who is eligible to travel in that, eligible to sit in the chariot, and remain in the chariot and travel by the chariot. And what's the chariot here? If Jiva is the owner of the chariot, travels in the chariot, and definitely the chariot is the physical body is the chariot. Physical body is the chariot. Okay, the owner of the chariot does not drive the chariot. Even though he's the Rathi, he's the owner of the chariot. But the charioteer, one who drives the chariot is different. The driver of the chariot is different from the owner of the chariot. Sometimes owner also drives, that's a different thing. But here, charioteer is different. The owner enjoys good, nice drive. Nothing to worry about. But the driver is here, intellect. Buddhihi is the charioteer, the driver. And the owner is the jiva, and the body is the chariot. Which means the movement of the chariot. The movement of the chariot is not in the hands of the owner of the chariot. The movement of the chariot is in the hands of the driver. Isn't it? Even though he's a owner, how the chariot moves, in which direction it goes, on which road it goes, that is determined by who? Only the driver. That is the buddhi, intellect. Suppose the charioteer is, the driver is sitting there, but the driver has to hold on to the reins because reins are tied to the horses and the horses are tied to this chariot and the horses tied to this body chariot are the sense organs. The sense organs are the horses. Sense organs are like the horses which are tied to the chariot. Okay, they only have to drag the chariot. Sense organs, the horses in the sense organs have to pull the body chariot. The jiva chariot, the jiva, the owner of the chariot. But the reins of the horses, the reins tied to the horses, those reins are in the hands of the driver, the chariot, the driver, charioteer, buddhi. Which means it is the buddhi, the driver of the chariot, the buddhi alone has the control over the reins. And what are those reins? Mind is like the reins. There's a buddhi driver holding the mind in the form of reins. The mind in the form of reins is tied to the sense organs, the horses in the sense organs in the form of horses, and which are tied to this physical body, which is like a body which is like a chariot. So of all these four, now there is a driver who is holding the reins, and the reins are tied to the horses, and the horses are tied to the chariot. So your buddhi is like the driver, mind is like the reins, and the sense organs are like the horses. Body is like the chariot, and this jiva is like the owner of the chariot who enjoys the ride sitting in the chariot. Now this chariot, movement of the chariot is in the hands of the buddhi, the driver, which means the rein he only is holding, he is holding the reins. So of all these aspects, which aspect is important? Which aspect enjoys importance? Reins. No, reins. You know why? Because mind here, because mind alone, here the mind in the form of reins is connected to the physical body through the sense organs, through the, so connected to the sense organs also. Because mind is associated with both sthula and sukshma. Mind is in between. The subtle intellect and the gross body. The mind, the subtle instrument, is in between subtle intellect and also gross body. Okay, this is the, let us with this understanding at enter into this mantra. Now, why this physical body is said to be a chariot? Why is it called, why is this body imagined as a chariot? Shankaracharya says, sadhanaha rataha, rataha sadhanaha kalpyate. This body is imagined to be a chariot. This imagery itself, because, why it is likened to a chariot? Because, ubhayagamane sadhanam, sadhanaha rataha. This body is like, just as a chariot helps a person reach a place, go somewhere, this body also helps a person in attaining two things. The body is the means, making use of this body alone, jiva can go to highest loka, jiva can perform rituals, earn punyam, thereby go to highest loka, attain Krama Muktihi. Or jiva can come to continue, go to higher loka and come back also. It is his physical body, making use of which alone a jiva can also make efforts to earn punyam, to prepare his mind. Jiva can study the shastram, jiva can attain jnanam, attain moksha also in this life itself. Therefore, ubhaya gamane sadhanaha rataha. This chariot, the body in the form of a chariot, serves as a means of attaining both ends, this end or that end. attain Kramamuktihi or Sadhyamuktihi. Attain time-bound freedom from relative freedom by going to heaven, or attain absolute freedom also. So Ubhayagamane Sadhanaha Rataha. So understand human physical body is very precious. Thank God only in his human body, only having the human body, there's a possibility for Jiva to attain Kramamuktihi or Jivan Muktihi, Sadhya Muktihi, or even to have temporary freedom of going to heaven by earning Punyam. See, Punya Sampadanam is possible only for a human being. All other living creatures can only exhaust the papam. You know, all other creatures, lower beings, they can only exhaust the papam. And beings in heaven can only exhaust the punyam. If a person goes to heaven, there he can only exhaust the punyam. If a person attains any other living body, he can only exhaust the papam. There's no way of earning punyam. Even to go to heaven, he cannot earn punyam. To have better pleasures in next life, he cannot earn punyam. He cannot attain jnanam also. So only in his human body. If a jiva has a human body, this human body is very special, very precious, because the jiva can have the urge of self-existence only in his human body. Thereby, jiva becomes eligible to attain jnanam also. There's a possibility of attaining moksha only in this physical body. If any other living body means, if a jiva has any other living body, only exhaustion of papa is possible. Then the jiva does not become eligible to attain jnanam, because there's no self-consciousness in any other, if a person has any other body, there one cannot have knowledge of self-existence. In cat's body, in dog's body, any other animal's body, or plant body, in any other body, one cannot have knowledge of self-existence. One cannot have self-consciousness, I am. Therefore, the jiva obtaining any other body is not eligible to attain jnanam. What can a person do with any other body? Only exhaust some papam. Pay some debts back to Ishvara. That's all you can do in others' bodies. That's why in Tamil say aridaridhi maadurai prathal aridhi. It's very precious. Human body, if it got, means we should not waste this. It's very precious life. Life with the human body is a very precious life. But only here you have self-consciousness, not just self-existence. Therefore, a human being alone, a jiva as a human being alone, can enjoy, is eligible to attain jnanam, attain moksha, even kramamukti, sadhyamukti, or even to relative freedom to earn punyam. It is possible only in this life. Even if you don't want to attain moksha also, even to accumulate punyam, while exhausting punya papa, you are eligible to accumulate more punyam in this life. You also earn papa only in this life. Got it now? This is a difference between a human being and other living beings. I haven't gone to next mantra. I'm still talking about it. Therefore, ubhaya sadhanaha, ubhaya gamane sadhanaha rataha. For what? Moksha gamanaya, samsara gamanaya cha. For attaining jnanam, for attaining moksha, this body, the human body, is very special. It is possible to attain jnanam. Even for attaining jnanam, for attaining moksha, it serves as a means. And samsara gamanayacha. And also, even to continue to remain in samsara also. Samsara gamanaya. To continue to remain in samsara, to accumulate papam also, what? It is possible only in this human body. See, no animal accumulates punyam, can accumulate punyam. No animal accumulates papam also. You know why? No self-consciousness. Therefore, no animal ever, suppose, if a tiger kills a deer, tiger does not commit papam. If we kill a deer, we have papam. Okay? So animals, jivas in animal forms, do not accumulate, cannot accumulate punyam or papam. They go to exhaust the papam. New accumulation is not possible. In heaven also, heavenly beings also, they only exhaust the punyam. They are not eligible to accumulate punyam or papam. A human being, human body, only in human body, human beings alone are eligible to accumulate both punyam and papam. You can accumulate papam, continue to remain samsara. You accumulate punyam, you can prepare your mind, can go to heaven, enjoy heavenly pleasures, or you can even attain jnanam, attain moksha also. So moksha gamanaya, samsara gamanaya cha. It is ubhayagamane sadhanaha rataha, this human body. Therefore, it is imagined as the chariot. And this human being having this physical body, upadhikritaha samsari, samsari who is bound by this, who is bound by, helplessly, choicelessly bound by this beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths. Now understand, at least we all know that we are samsaris now. If we are not samsaris, we wouldn't have been born. Because without our permission, without our interest, without our choice, we are born here. If you are born in this world without your choice, means what? You did not choose to be born. Okay, you know, don't even know why you are born. Just you are born here. Which means, this is called bondage. Okay, without our choice, we are born in this world. That's why we say, samsari is samsari, the jiva who is bound by this beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths. How? Choicelessly, helplessly. You have to put two adverbs, okay? Helplessly, choicelessly, bound by cycle of births and deaths. He is samsari. And such samsari, upadhi kritaha. Being endowed with this body, unique body, mind and complex. Vidya avidyayoho adhikritaha. This person is eligible. Only human being is adhikrita, means eligible. Eligible for attaining jnanam, vidya. And also, avidya means what? Avidya stands for rituals, karma. The word avidya stands for actions. Jnana stands for knowledge. Jnana means knowledge. This only human being is eligible to attain jnanam, thereby to attain moksha. Only human being is eligible to attain the knowledge of rituals, thereby performing, he is eligible to perform rituals. He can choose his, he can make use of his will. He can choose for right actions. He can earn punyam. He can choose to do wrong actions. He can accumulate papam also. Which means, vidya avidyayoho adhikrita means he is eligible for performing rituals, making use of his willpower and willpower. And he is eligible for attaining jnanam also. Only human being is eligible. That's why animals have no free will. They cannot choose to do any given action. They're all programmed. No? They're programmed and the whole animal's life behavior is completely controlled by instincts. There's no choice. There's no free will for animal. Whereas human being alone has his free will. Therefore, he is vidya adhikritaha, avidya adhikritaha. He is eligible for performing rituals and he is eligible for attaining jnanam. thereby he is eligible for attaining moksha, eligible for remaining in samsara also. Therefore, ubhayagamane sadhanaha rataha, for attaining both ends. This body serves physical, human physical body serves as a means. Therefore, he is likened to a chariot, rataha. This is a beautiful introduction given by Shankaracharya. This is the introduction he gives. Upadhikritaha samsari vidya avidyayoho adhikritaha moksha gamanaya samsara gamanaya cha tasya tad ubhaya gamane sadhanaha rataha kalpyate. That is why body is imagined to be a chariot here. Gamana means going. To go somewhere, you need a vehicle. And here also, to reach something, you need a vehicle. Okay? Here, the human physical body is like a chariot. Only remaining in this body, a jiva can earn punyam by performing rituals. And he can also attain jnanam. Therefore, it is said like into a body. With this, so Shankaracharya introduces this imagery. First of all, saying why this body is likened to a chariot. Okay. Let us read the mantra now. Atmanam rathinam vidhi shariram rathame vatu. Atmanam shariram vidhi. Sorry, Atmanam rathinam vidhi. Atmanam rathinam vidhi. Shariram ratham evatu. Buddhim tu sarathim vidhi. Manav pragraham evacha. Manav pragraham evacha. Atmanam rathinam vidhi. Shariram ratham evatu. Buddhim tu sarathim vidhi. Manaha pragraham evacha. So vidhi is a may you understand. So this verb is second person verb. Therefore, we have this second person pronoun is implied here. Vidhi, he understand, do understand. It's imperative verb, second person verb. Therefore, we have to take second person pronoun, which is implied. It is not meant in given here in the mantra, it's implied. Tvam vidhi, may you understand. May you understand Atmanam rathinam vidhi. Please make a note in this mantra, the word Atma means physical body. Sorry. Atma is a jiva. Atmanam rathinam vidhi. Shairam ratham evatu. Rathi is a nakarantaha pullingaha rathin shabdaha. Rathinam. Rathin shabdaha. Namadu case rathi. Namadu case rathinam. Atmanam. His atma here is the jiva. The self. Atmanam rathinam vidhi. May you understand this atma. Atma. To be the owner of the chariot, rathi. Rathinam vidhi. Rathinam is objective kaham of rathi. What is the base word? Rathin shabdaha. Nakarantaha pullingaha rathin shabdaha. Pratama bhakto rathi iti rupam. Dithya bhakto rathinam. Atmanam rathinam vidhi. May you understand the atma, the jiva, to be the owner of the chariot. Shariram rathamevatu. May you so vidhi has to be separate again. May you understand this body to be the chariot. Shariram rathamevatu. May understand shariram ratham vidhi. May understand this body to be the chariot. Buddhim tu sarathim vidhi. May you understand your intellect to be the sarathihi, charioteer, the driver. Sarathihi. See, Rathi is owner. Sarathihi is a charioteer, the driver. Buddhim tu sarathim buddhi. May you understand this buddhi, the intellect, to be the charioteer. Manaha pragraham evacha. Pragraha means the reins. So may you understand. So the vidhi, the verb should be supplied everywhere. Atmanam rathinam vidhi. Shairam ratham evattu vidhi. Buddhim tu sarathim vidhi. Manaha pragraham eva iti vidhi. So may you understand manaha, the mind, to be pragraham, to be the reins. Pragraha means what? That which is held. Pragrihyate iti pragraha. The reins are always held. Reins have to be held by the charioteer, the driver. We call it pragraha. We understand the mind to be the reins. Therefore, may you understand vidhi, may you understand, may you know this jiva atma to be the owner of the chariot, the lord of the chariot. And the physical body to be the chariot itself. And may you understand this intellect to be the charioteer, the driver, and the mind to be the reins, which are held by the charioteer. So Shankaracharya says, Tatra, Tatra means what? Tatra means in this context. Tam Atmanam Rutapam Samsaranam Rathinam Rathaswaminam Vidhi. So may you understand, may you know this Atma to be Ritapaha. See, Ritapaha means Ritam Pibati iti Ritapaha. Ritam is what? Ritam is a punyam, punya papam. I already explained why punya papam, the result of action, is also said to be Ritam. Because that which does not fail to happen, the results of actions do not fail to happen. They definitely happen. That is why the result of action is said to be Ritam. Well, Punyam or Papam. Punyam or Papam, which definitely happens in keeping with the karma. Therefore, the result of action is said to be Ritam. Ritam Pibati Itti Ritapaha. Pibati means drinks. Enjoyer. Juspaha means what? Rasapaha. The one who drinks the juice, rasapaha. Coffee paha. Chaya, tea paha. Drinker, one who drinks. Coffee is coffee paha. One who drinks tea is tea paha. Okay? Ritapaha means what? One who drinks, one who enjoys, one who experiences the result of action. The experiencer of results of action, the result of action, is Ritapaha. Ritani Pibati Iti Ritapaha. Experiencer of the enjoyer of results of actions. Who? This Jiva, Jivatma. Atmanam, this Jivatma. Who enjoyer, the experiencer of the results of actions, who helplessly, he has to experience, he has to go through results of actions. Ritapaha. And who is samsari? who is helplessly, choicelessly bound by this beginningless, endless cycle of births and deaths. So samsari, samsarinam. And this jivatma, who is ratapaha, who is samsari, and he is the rathi. Rathi means what? Rathinam viddhi. Rathaswami. Rathaswami means master of the chariot, owner of the chariot. Rathaswami. Viddhi means janihi. May you understand. Okay. And shairam rathameva tu. Ratha baddha hayasthaniyehi indriyehi. Why body is said to be, again he is explained here, ratha baddha hayasthaniyehi indriyehi akrishyavanatvat chairasya. Body has the akrishyavanatvam. Body has the status or position of being dragged. Physical body has the situation of being dragged by the sense organs, which are like the horses tied to the chariot. Ratabaddha hayaha. Haya means the horse. Hayasthaniyehi indriyehi. Akrishyamanatva sharirasya. This body has sharirasya asti. Akrishyamanatvam asti. The body has this situation always of being pulled by sense organs, which are like the horses tied to the chariot. And what are the, how many horses now? 5 sense organs. Pancha Gyanendriyani. Therefore, 5 sense organs. 5 sense organs drag the rein. You know, when they pull, the reins are not under the control of the driver. The horses can pull the, drag the chariot because reins are tied to them. They can drag the driver anywhere. Okay. And buddhim tu adhyavasaya lakshanam saratim vidhi. See, adhyavasayaha means decision. Adhyavasaya lakshanam saratim vidhi. So may you understand this intellect to be, may you understand this intellect to be sarathi, and who is capable of deciding. Driver alone has the capacity to decide. I mean, who can be the decision maker? So may I understand this buddhi to be the charioteer who alone can make the decision how the chariot can move. He says, buddhi netru pradhanatvat sharirasya. See, the body body has primarily the buddhi as its neta, the leader. Why this buddhi is said to be the? The buddhi is important. Buddhi enjoys pradhanyam, importance. Why? Because it is the neta, it is the leader, it is the carrier. Sarati netru pradhana iva rataha. He says, the one who has a mastery, the decision maker, one who can decide, one who can lead the chariot, is the charioteer. Similarly, buddhi can make decision, buddhi can lead the body. Therefore, because of this, just as charioteer is important in driving the chariot, similarly, buddhi is important in, you know, in placing the body in right actions. Therefore, the buddhi is like this. Chariot is likened to a buddhi. Body has the buddhi as its leader. Therefore, it is important. So, the chariot has sarathi as its leader, carrier. Therefore, sarathi is also important. That way, he is, just as charioteer is important for the chariot's movement, so buddhi is important for the body's, you know, involvement in actions. Therefore, sarvam hi deha gatam karyam buddhi kartavyam eva prayena. So prayena, almost, mostly, all the actions associated with the body. Deha gatam karyam is all the actions associated with the physical body is actually mainly the directed by the intellect only. All the physical activities, of course, see, mental activities, suppose you do not have say over your mind. The jealousy comes, hatred comes, anger comes. It is not, you are not responsible. There the will is not involved. In having an anger, in having anger, desire, likes and dislikes, jealousy, fear, there, you are not the creator. You don't use your will. Let me have anger. Let me get angry. That is not, will is involved. So in mental activity, your will is not involved. In physical activity, will is involved. Your decision is involved. Therefore, dehagatam karim, all physical activities are activities associated with the body, pertinent to the body. Definitely, they're all buddhi kartavyam eva. They're all mostly determined by the intellect only. All the physical activities are determined by, decided by the intellect only. That is why you accumulate punya papam. Now I understand why buddhi is said to be the intellect. Buddhi is said to be the charioteer. Manaha sankalpa vikalpadi lakshanam pragraham rashanam viddhi. So may you understand your mind to be the reins, pragraha. Why? Because in controlling the horses, reins are helpful. So also in controlling the sense organs, the mind is, mind plays a role. And the mind must be under the control of the intellect, the charioteer. For sankalpa vikalpa adi lakshanam, sankalpaha and vikalpaha. So sankalpaha means thinking. Sankalpa vikalpa implies the capacity to think the pros and cons. sankalpa vikalpaadi lakshanam manaha. How the mind? The mind is always involved, associated with the pros and cons, thinking of the pros and cons. So this mind, which is capable of thinking of the pros and cons, thinking of the, you know, you can decide the advantages and disadvantages, the consequences, etc. Such a mind is here likened to the rains. Why? Because the horses, if the charioteer has to control the horses, has to use the reins only. The reins are not there. Charioteer cannot control the horses because the reins are tied to the horses. Similarly, mind is linked to all the sense organs. All the sense organs function being backed by the mind. This mind is connected to all the five sense organs. Therefore, mastery over sense organs is possible only with the help of the mind. Just as the reins are helpful in controlling the horses, so also mind is very important in managing, having mastery over sense organs. Our mind is, what is this mind? The mind is the thinking faculty, which is capable of thinking the pros and cons. Sankalpa vikalpa. Rashana means rain. Why? Because he says, manasahi pragrihitani shrotradini karanani. Rashanaya iva ashvaha. Rashanaya iva ashvaha. Just as horses are controlled with the help of reins, similarly, the sense organs such as hearing power, seeing power, all these five sets, powers of knowledge, instruments of knowledge, and also the instruments of actions, all the instruments of knowledge and actions are actually controlled, pragrihitani, controlled by the mind only. Therefore, mind is like the reins. The image around is presented. So, therefore, what? How should we do? That's going to be discussed in the following mantra. I'm here. Any questions you have? Even in India, people say marriage also is a kadivalam, you know. So they say if a man has to be in proper way, the woman also for that matter. They say the son doesn't get married, they'll be worried. They'll say, they'll be worried because he needs to be in proper means. They'll say, they'll tie him, no? Like this horse. So that he will be in proper track. That's what they used to say in India. Something I was going to tell, something is gone out of my intellect. Okay, any questions here? It's a very beautiful imagery. Okay, this is Kathopanishad. Amazing. Kathopanishad is lot of Bhagavad Gita takes lot of things from Kathopanishad only. Sometimes words are literally shifted. Verses. That is why Bhagavad Gita picture everywhere is famous. And here, when Bhagavan sits as, Bhagavan means Dharma. Bhagavan symbolizing Dharma was Arjuna's charioteer. So he was safe.
Somebody have a question to second verse. Shake mahi, is it Vedic usage or?
Yeah, yeah. See, shake mahi actually is actually, it's a first person verb, but we should take it as a generally, shaknumaha. Shaknumaha is shaknomi. Aham shaknomi. Aham shaknomi. Avam shaknumaha. Vayam shaknumaha. Means we can. We are able to. We are capable of. We are capable of. We can. We are able to. Isn't it? That is shaknumaha. So that if we say shakemahi, you take, it's not like Atmanepadam, first person like a verb. First person verb that is. Shake mahi. Shake mahe, no. Like the shake mahi is a ling verb, shake mahi. Actually, it is the first person, it's like a first person present tense verb, it's a plural verb. So shake mahi means literally what? We can. So we can implies what? We can take to. That is not complete. Therefore, we have to answer shake mahi means shaknumaha. Nachiketam shaknumaha means what? We are able to understand nachiketagnihi as the means. That's the, that something has to be separate there. So shake mahi is equal to shaknumaha. Mean we are capable of, we are able to. Able to what? We're able to resort to. We're able to take to. We're capable of resorting to. That is the meaning. See, actually Shankaracharya gives shaknuvantaha. He gives third person meaning. Shatruvanta shabda. Shaknuvantaha means those who are capable. Shaknuvan shaknuvantaha. So people, all the people are capable of knowing, are capable of choosing, capable of knowing. Nachiketagni as the means. Okay, so we'll stop here. It's all right. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Rubhyo Namaha Hari Om.